Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Friday morning, June the 11th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for joining me today on KSJE, 90.9 FM on the radio in San Juan County, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere, including to your smart speaker from KSJE.com. Good to have you along with us, everyone, and welcome to our viewers. This is a visual radio program. The video is streaming live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us. It's a great morning to watch on a screen because we're going to be talking about the history of the Farmington Public Library and sharing some great old documents and photographs and newspaper articles about the library over the years. Karen McFeeters, the library director, is my guest. We are talking about the 100th anniversary of the Farmington Public Library being celebrated this year from its very humble beginnings 100 years ago in 1921. So stay tuned to learn more about the library and how it has grown into the wonderful community resource we know it today. Then, of course, later on, next hour, Mick Hess will take us roving with the arts. And this morning, Mick is playing music from Samuel Barber, his Knoxville Summer of 1915 composition. It's coming up today and Roving with the Arts at 9:06 on KSJE. And today at noon, we hope you'll tune back in, of course, or just stay tuned all morning. It's the Cop Shop with FPD. Farmington Police Chief Stephen Hebby will be here. Also, Nicole Brown is Public Information Officer. They'll be here talking about some of the things the department's been up to these last few weeks. You can watch us live, of course, on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, and listen, of course, on the radio or online. That's coming up today at 12:06, the Cop Shop with FPD. And don't forget, of course, we want you to connect with us on social media to keep tabs on what we're up to here at KSJE. Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can follow us on Twitter and also check out our Instagram page as well. Outside our studios this morning, bright, sunny Friday morning, 62 degrees in Farmington at the moment. We're expecting lots of sunshine today, the high 91 this afternoon. It'll be clear and 53 tonight, and then the heat really gets turned up for the weekend. Take a look at tomorrow, mostly sunny skies on Saturday, the high 98 degrees on Saturday, the overnight low 57 on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny skies, the high reaching triple digits for the first time this season. 100 degrees is the forecast high for Sunday, and then the overnight low of 57. Same thing for Monday, mostly sunny skies, 100 degrees for high on Monday, the overnight low 64, and then sunshine on Tuesday with a high again 99 degrees and an overnight low of 67 degrees. So the heat is on. Joining me this morning to talk about the centennial year of the Farmington Public Library, the director of the Farmington Public Library, Karen McFeeters, is here in the studio with me this morning, and it's great to have you here. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Scott.
And congratulations.
on
100 years.
I know. Isn't that great?
It is really great for the Farmington Public Library. We've talked a little bit about it with other folks from the library, but
yes.
Now you are here to give us the scoop, if you will, on the last 100 years and how the library began and from its very humble beginnings. And I know our modern library today is unsurpassed, I think. It gets a lot of compliments from around the state and around the country.
Yeah, but every big library started as a little library.
That's true.
You've got to remember that.
That's true.
So, and our little library started pretty small.
There's a really cool story, right? And some humble beginnings. And when I mean humble, right?
Yes. The Farmington Study Club.
Yeah.
It was a ladies organization in Farmington. And they had, the way they operated is they would take a topic every month and they would present a topic and they had a calendar. They had a club motto, a
nice.
Club flower,
okay.
A club pin.
Very nice.
Which I would love to have one.
Anybody, right?
If anyone's interested
if you see one,
giving one to me, right. That would be great.
Yes.
Very
cool. And they met in a living room, didn't they? Where did they meet?
They met in various people's houses.
Okay, so
it
bounced around a little bit, right?
It was a traveling show. So
okay.
If you were hosting and you were presenting the topic that they studied, and
then you would host it at your house?
Yes.
Okay. And this is 1921.
And in January of 1921, they had come up with an idea. They had taken a look around at the other communities in New Mexico. And we were not the first to get a library, and we were not the last to get a library.
Okay.
We're in the
right.
middle of the herd,
all
which
right.
is good.
Sure.
But I think they looked around, and they saw we had a hospital,
mm-hmm.
we had schools, we had government offices, and we had churches, and thriving downtown business, and
right.
they decided we needed a library for the future of Farmington.
There you go. And this is, again, 1921, so not that long after statehood, less
no.
than 10 years.
Less than 10 years.
And 1912, that's my history.
Yes.
And, and Farmington was smaller than it certainly is today. It was certainly before the big boom in the 1950s. And so,
yes.
you know, the big town at that time would have been, I think, Aztec. Or maybe they were about the same.
They were probably about the same.
But we weren't so much larger than like we are today than Aztec and the largest community.
Right.
So
and
Farmington was just growing like everybody else.
Well, and I love this story because everybody has an origin story, you know. And our library has a really great one. So the topic of a library was discussed, and Mrs. Mahaney volunteered her living room to become the first public library in Farmington, New Mexico. Now, I do have to back up a little bit and tell you, the research that I did, there was a little bit of a lending library in one of the drugstores.
Okay.
But I was never able to verify its location. I think it was somewhere by where Pancake Alley
okay.
was.
Right.
Or is.
Possibly. We had a number of different drugstores, during those early, early days.
But I couldn't verify that at all.
Okay.
And so Mrs. Mahaney, by default, you know, if you can't document it.
Right.
Probably didn't happen.
Right.
So.
This is the first, earliest documented, formalized library structure in the city of Farmington.
Yes.
That's what we can say.
And I love the fact that everybody voted for it, and they volunteered their husbands to come and build shelves in Mrs. Mahaney's living room.
There you go.
And then they got donations together, and they decided who would be the librarian and when. There was always someone there.
Mm-hmm.
Their volunteers were scheduled. They got busy, and they got after it.
Nice. And so we have a picture.
Yes, we
of
do.
Of the home, which is still standing, by the way, which
is
exciting because
it's been a law firm.
We don't have a lot of old buildings in Farmington, and so this is at the corner of Arrington and Auburn.
Auburn, yes.
And so the picture for folks who are watching us, and everyone should be watching us, it's visual radio after all, on the left is the original, how the house looked originally when it was the Farmington Public Library, mm-hmm. and then, of course, on the right is what it looks like today.
Yes.
A little less vines growing around.
Yes.
Well, things like that. But yeah.
And I think it got quite a bit of use. I was talking to Bob Culpepper, and he remembers going to Mrs. Mahaney's house okay. and checking out books.
Cool.
So right. I know that that worked. I don't know if that was some device as mother sent him on an errand to go check out books and
maybe
bother
that could
someone
be.
Else.
Right. That's possible.
But he does remember doing that. And I haven't really talked to anybody else who does remember going there.
Got you. But not too far from downtown, certainly within walking distance. And
correct.
It was in a good spot. And
well,
so.
And that's and like you said, it was before the boom.
Right.
And so downtown was pretty compact.
The town was pretty compact.
Yes, it was all together, and people could walk to it and check out books.
Right.
That was a good thing.
There you go. But it's still, the house is still there, and so the living room is still there. It'd be cool to go in and see it. And as you mentioned, it used to be a law office, and now I think it's something else, maybe.
Airbnb or bed and breakfast?
Perhaps, thing? Yeah. So
I think so. We'll have to, I think they're working on that. If
they could if be renovating.
If it isn't already.
Right.
But I think that's what, or Airbnb maybe.
Exactly. And so it, so the library was there for a number of years then.
Yes.
If Bob remembers going there.
If I do my math right, it looks like from 21 to 37. So.
Okay.
Not quite 20 years, but.
No, about 15 maybe, 15,
yeah.
16 years. Look at us doing math on a Friday morning. Go
oh
us.
Oh my gosh.
Go us. Yeah.
Doing it in our heads.
Right.
So then we're into the 30s. And
right.
So, you know, New Mexico is still kind of filling its oats and growing a little bit. The WPA, the Works Program, was a real deal.
Right. So
New
we're coming
Mexico,
out of the Depression.
Coming out of the Depression
that was,
and trying to get money into the communities.
Right.
And the members of the Study Club in 1937 decided that they were going to apply for a WPA grant to build a library, a standalone building.
Gotcha.
To be a library.
To be built just for the purpose of being a library, not use somebody's living room
yeah.
anymore. So
yeah,
time
so,
to maybe we outgrew the living room by
yes.
that point, I would say.
And I'm sure Mrs. Mahaney was ready for them to move.
Could be.
That would be
enough
my,
is enough, everybody.
That would be my guess. That, I don't know if I could give up a living room for that long.
Right. That's a long time. That's true. So they were successful in getting this WPA
well,
grant, weren't they?
They had some stumbling blocks. One
okay.
of them was they had to raise matching funds.
I see.
And they weren't as worried about raising the funds as they were that they had to talk. Their political situation was somewhat delicate.
I see.
They had to work with a Democrat.
Right.
In order to get the funding.
WPA, that was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's administration.
Yes.
Okay.
And they were a little, their concern was, how would that look? And
this is documented too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
It is documented.
Interesting.
And it seems that most of the members were Republicans. And because it was a Democrat project, there were people in town that thought it might be a waste of money or, you know, all,
right.
all the normal things that libraries kind of struggle with when
sure.
it comes to funding.
Okay.
So, but in order to do that, they had to have an advocate.
I see.
And to get out of their sticky situation, they went ahead and talked to Senator Dennis Chavez.
Right.
And he became an advocate for them and helped them apply for the WPA funds, which is what our senators and representatives have done for years.
Right. Some of this federal
grants.
Money coming into the community
yes.
to build projects, whatever it is. We call them earmarks these days, I think.
So they raised $1,000, and it must just have seemed like a lot of money.
No kidding.
Then.
Right.
They raised $1,000, and the estimated cost of the building was $2,200. And the library was completed
wow.
in 1938.
Okay.
And it was,
I don't think you can buy a piece of plywood for $2,000 today, but maybe.
No, I don't.
The
I
price
don't think
has gone way
could.
Up. But that's amazing. And you have a picture
I
that I want to show of this building that we're talking about, which is also still standing, by
yes.
the way. And I'm going to hold it up because it's right here, everyone, if you can see that. I'm going to get a little closer. There it is. And this is right at the back end, if you will, of the E3 Children's Museum. So it's really on La Plata Street, facing La Plata Street at the corner of Orchard. That's where this building is.
Now, it's not very big.
It's not very big.
No.
It's but I bet it's bigger than a living room.
It was.
So there you go. Baby
and
steps.
And it was done in a territorial style.
You can see that.
So it's got the vigas, and if you were to go inside, you would see that it also has the latillas in the ceiling.
Right.
The shelves and the librarian's desk was an arts and crafts
Okay, that
desk.
Style.
So that style. So it was very homey, lots of wood, natural wood.
Right.
Very small.
Yeah, but still, you know,
and
it certainly
lasted.
Had a great look. And, of course, it's been remodeled since then, and then there's a building in front of it. And, of course, the other addition was done much later, probably in
right,
the 50s?
In the late 50s, I believe.
And so there's certainly not a lot left on the outside of these architectural details, but certainly if you drive by, I think you can probably pick it out.
You can recognize that. It's attached to the E3.
The E3, the Children's Museum. So
yes.
So it was growing a little bit, right?
Yes.
As we go into now the 30s, and so this brand new library from
right.
WPA funds, and I think, if I remember correctly, on the sidewalk out in front are some WPA stamps
right.
in the concrete that says it was a project of that era.
Yes.
So
that was a pretty big deal. Like I said, we're in the middle of the pack when it comes to other communities in New Mexico. There were a lot of libraries that were built before ours.
Right.
But I think, you know, it shows, you know, you got to go down the list of what a community needs. You know, you got to tick off schools, hospital, all those things that I mentioned
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah, right.
And libraries on that list. And so I'm really grateful that I was able to find out these little pieces of history. When I came, there was a book being written. It's called One Book at a Time, and it's got everybody's history of their library in New Mexico.
That's interesting.
And
yeah.
So basically the story that was chosen for our library is the story I just told you about the ladies
nice.
Worrying about having to talk to a Democrat.
Right, and getting that project in, and what would the neighbors think, I suppose.
Yeah, so
some
I
of
guess
that.
Farmington hasn't changed all that much.
Maybe not. But very exciting and very, again, forward-thinking
right.
of these ladies to say, you know, we probably can't keep having a library in someone's living room. We really need a permanent building
nice.
That can grow with our community and continue to offer the services that the library provides, which, you know, today there are so numerous to mention. I mean, but I think, you know, a community is only as good as its library.
I think that's probably a true statement. It's interesting that the study club maintained control of the library.
Even after building this new building. Yeah.
Yes. They were in charge, and they hired a librarian part-time.
Okay.
One of the first ones that they hired was only part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used the ladies of the study club kind of kept it going for a while.
Right.
When they got the add-on in the late 50s, I believe, and I did have that date, but it's just...
It's escaped.
It's
well, that's
just
okay.
Gone.
That's all right. But in the 50s?
In the 50s.
Right.
About that time, it became property of the city of Farmington. So the
well, it was the boom era, so I could see why maybe the city would want to help with that.
And have a library
mm-hmm.
in their stable of services.
Right.
So that happened. They had a budget then. But the Farmington Study Club ladies were very much involved still. And they were what would be considered a friends of the library. They still raised money for the library. They
almost like a foundation, I suppose, maybe like
yes.
you'd have today.
And in fact, so the early pinnings of our foundation were rooted in the Farmington Study Club.
Okay.
And I think that was formalized when Mr. Hudson was the head of Parks and Rec.
Okay,
so
which would have overseen the library
right.
with the city and the city department that way.
Right.
And so that wasn't all that long ago, although
no.
we're kind of dating ourselves because
yes.
for some people it probably was long ago, but for
yes.
us, not so much. But yeah.
yeah. So
okay.
They lived in that kind of 1950s hip-looking building
right.
with a lot of linoleum and...
as it were, that's
as
right.
As it were,
mm-hmm.
and Drew Harrington was a librarian then.
Right. And that was unique to a certain degree, wasn't it? You brought in an article about one
yes.
of our librarians.
Right. In 1968, we have one of the two male librarians in the state.
Here it goes. I'll turn the camera over here so you can see it. This is the other article. There he is. And so he has an article written about him. This is a different librarian, right? This is
right.
Richard
this is,
Gallagher.
This would be before Drew.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But still.
I like that idea that they had, it was so unusual for a librarian to be a male.
Right. They wrote a whole story about it.
in New Mexico.
Right.
That it was the headline.
Only
that
two.
That just kind of cracked me up.
Interesting. That's true.
Yeah.
So here we are on Orchard Avenue, and that's where the library now is. Still very close to downtown, still kind of
right.
in the middle of town, if you will.
But running out of space. So
right.
I brought a couple of...
Here's another article.
Drew Harrington.
This is Drew. Okay.
So this would be the library that when the library moved from Orchard to downtown between Broadway and Main.
Right.
And that was.
And some folks remember that as being the old bank building.
Yes,
right?
That's true. And it was in 1984.
Okay.
And
so here's another artifact you brought out. I probably should be wearing gloves when I'm holding these things. They seem like they're ancient artifacts, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Well,
all this stuff. But this is from the opening of the new library, if you will, in 1984. So that would have been, I guess, what is now Wells Fargo Bank, which used to be First National Bank of Farmington.
First National Bank.
That's what
of
it
Farmington.
Was. They were in that building, and then they built their new building across the street, which is now the Wells Fargo Bank building.
Yes.
And so when they emptied out the old building, that then became property of the city
right.
and said, we should move the library into this building because there's more room and more space. And that's where you started work, is it not?
It is. We were in that building from 1984 until, I think during that time, late 80s, we had kind of a bust.
Mm-hmm.
Oil and gas bust time.
True.
That's when they started the quality of life taxes and started doing things like the Pinyon Hills Golf Course and
the River Trails. Sure.
And
some of those things.
In fact, when I moved to town, that was one of the first things we went to as some event at the Riverwalk, and I remember looking at the plans and thinking, wow, if we could do this, that would just be so cool.
Right, yeah.
And now when I look back and look at all the things that the city has
right.
done to grow and become a better place to live for the people who live here.
Very true.
I think that's great. So,
there were a lot of projects, pardon me for interrupting you,
yes.
with some of these public votes that they asked the public to vote in favor of these small tax increases to provide these quality of life things that you mentioned, like the River Trails and the golf course, and also the sports complex, I think, was part of it. The Boys and Girls Club building was part of it. And so they had a lot of different things to appeal to a broad voter base, I suppose, to get this passed. But I think, it made a lot of sense to do that. And we are the beneficiaries of it today because we get to go enjoy all these things.
That is absolutely true. So I was hired in 1989.
Which is the year that I arrived in Farmington.
Yes,
we were talking about that. We both arrived the same time, and the town hasn't been the same since.
I know. Well, in fact, they said, go talk to Scott Micklin. He'll do something on the news for you.
Right, right. See,
and I did that a lot of times.
Well, you did
Scott,
it a lot of times. He put you on the news all the time. That's right. Exactly.
Yes. My daughter would call that night on TV. She would be watching. I'm like, what are you looking at? And she's like, I'm doing a bimbo check. She said, I'm counting how many times you say,
Oh, no.
I'm so mean.
Right.
Kids.
I know. But
so,
but you did great. Yeah.
I got to be in that building, and the building was about 5 years old and already kind of showing some wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned after a while was that the building was only designed to last the library 10 years.
Okay.
So,
and that was in 85, it opened, or 84, pardon me.
In 84 it opened. So,
by 94, you're about done.
Yeah.
Except
we were
still there.
We were still there.
Yeah.
And so then I think a lot of folks were asking the questions about, now what do we do?
Right. And this was, I keep interrupting you, and I'm so sorry.
Sure.
But
no, that's
these
okay.
things pop into my
it's
head.
It's a story.
It is a story. And, you're downtown. But it's a multi-storied building, and so
yes.
I think when it comes to managing things like that, you have to have staff on every floor to keep an eye on people and to deal with the comings and goings of being a public building. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, we had very few parking spaces.
True.
We were located between the two busiest roads in all of San Juan County.
Right, Main and Broadway.
So it was a difficult building. It wasn't designed as a library. And in fact, a lot of people don't know that they had to reconstruct the interior of the building to withstand the weight of the book stacks.
Oh, interesting, because it weighs a lot more than just a bunch of tellers and money, I guess.
Right.
Or money goes in the safe, which you had in the basement.
Yes, we had a safe. It's the still, only library I've ever seen that had a safe.
There you go. But right, that would make sense because those bookshelves are heavy.
Right, so it was completely re-engineered, and then when that happened, they added depth. So I always had in the stairs, I could not figure out why people were tripping on a particular stair.
Oh.
And I finally measured them, and I found that's where the difference was made up.
One step.
To re-instep. Well, it was just a little off.
Uh-huh, from the others. But you
from
assume when you're going up or down that they're all the same.
They're all the same, and they weren't. And that was going down and going upstairs. So I think we're lucky we didn't break anybody's leg.
No kidding.
On those stairs.
Oh, my gosh. That must send your risk management people into fits.
Oh,
but
it was a lovely building at the time.
Sure.
And we really made the most of it. As starting, you know, basically from scratch as
right.
a librarian, these newspaper clips were kind of in a box. I got it handed a box.
Okay.
And that's
right.
all I had. I had some photos, some little clues of the library's history.
Right.
And was able to ferret out some information as time went on. But when I found out that the library was only designed to last 10 years, I was like, okay, now what?
Right.
So I knew that the city had done a lot of quality of life taxes, and I just asked the question, you know, did you guys ever consider?
Yeah.
And it's what happens, you know, you build a library, it's the new whatever.
Right.
I've had people call the library we're in right now, it's the new library.
It's still a new library to me, and
right.
it's how old now?
It'll be 18 years.
And no.
Yeah, coming up.
How is that possible? Okay. I believe you, but oy.
We'll be starting the 18th year, I think. I get a little muddled because...
Right. So the planning began for a new library, a bigger library,
yes.
and kind of a built from scratch, a planned from the ground up to be a library.
Right.
Which was also very different.
Which is very cool. Very different.
Yeah.
You know, a building, what do we say about free stuff sometimes? It's... free as in kitten, not as in beer.
Right, okay, all right.
So sometimes, you know, you have to take a little TLC.
Right.
So we did. We were in that building for quite a while, and we built up the children's programs.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly that was our biggest concern, to try to get as many kids with a library card as possible.
Right.
Farmington is also a little unusual because they're... city rules regarding the governance and the advisory board include a member from the county.
I see.
So in essence, we were the county library.
Right.
And then the Alturian Library, which is now the Aztec Public Library.
Right.
That was also started by a women's club.
Right.
And then Bloomfield came along in between...
Okay.
That period of time.
Got you. But it really is your area of service, if you will, or you've always
right.
thought that you extend beyond the city limits, if you will, to
right.
provide services to the county. And I guess maybe part of that is because the city feels the county residents come in and shop, and so they help to fund some of these city services and things along that line.
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
And it goes both ways. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's a bigger library. We serve a bigger community than Bloomfield or Aztec. But that greater community has also been a part of that process. So.
Right.
So
but you got the fun job.
Unusual.
True. But you got the fun job of helping to design the new library and working with architects and things like that and really putting your stamp on this building, I think.
Oh, I think we had a really good time. So one of the things that happens... we wanted to make sure that we had community input. And I think that whenever you're doing something as a community, you really need to take that time and develop those relationships with how do we want to grow as a community. And I think we were able to do that. We had 25 public meetings. I think you even went to one, didn't you?
I'm sure I did. I hope I went to more than one, but maybe if
yes.
I only got to one, that's possible. But
and we took
but
a
yeah.
lot of notes, and we came up with some really great design concepts, and a couple of them, and I think you can see it reflected in the building. One of them is they wanted, the community wanted us to be in a park-like setting.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a blending of indoor and outdoor spaces. They wanted it to look southwest, but not look like a ruin.
Okay. All right, interesting.
And not look like Santa Fe. And you can interpret that however you would like.
Right, interesting. And compared to the old library downtown in the old bank building with zero outdoor spaces, unless you count like a parking space.
Right.
Totally night and day difference.
Right. So it was kind of easy to take those ideas and kind of translate them. It was an amazing process. After those 25 meetings, we gave the notes to the architects. And then we all went home. Those guys stayed up, and they built a model of the library the next morning.
Oh, cool. Right.
And brought it in.
How close was it to what we have now?
It looks exactly like what we have right now.
Really? Wow.
It really does.
They nailed it.
They nailed it.
From day one, it sounds like.
From day one. So the library was built with, I think, 4 change orders.
Only?
Only 4 change orders in the entire project.
I think anyone in construction would know that that's an amazing number.
That's a very big deal.
Yeah. Amazingly low number. Yes. Wow. Very good.
And I think part of that was because of the time that was taken in the planning.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very careful about this money that was being entrusted with us to create this library that would last and be here when we're all gone.
And so the library's been open now for...
Since 2004.
2004. And so I'm just trying to think about, you know, at the time, you know, computers were becoming more and more of a thing. And I think it was very a conscious effort to design computer labs and public use of computers into the space. And as we've seen now, especially over the last year, those computers have been so valuable to the community to be able to go into the library and get online, you know, for free and whenever you could get in there to be able to access all the things we've been accessing now through computers.
Right. I mean, you can't even...
You can't watch the radio without having a computer.
Well, the technology has certainly been a part of that. And the Bill Gates Foundation, mm-hmm. Actually, we were the recipient of a fairly substantial grant. And that really helped us.
Nice.
And we've had a lot of other help along the way.
True.
A lot of local money went into the special touches of the library. You know, we have the storytime doors. We have the waterfall.
Right.
There are a lot of things that would not be possible without the community support.
Which is great. And a great testament to, I think, the job and the role that the library plays in our community over the past 100 years.
Right. No, the whole concept is, you know, we've been here for a long time.
Yeah. Very true.
And we're going to keep being here. So
very true. I want to show another picture.
Another photo.
This is an article from 1990.
Yes.
This is a bit younger Karen McFeeters.
A lot younger.
In this picture. Look at that. And this windfall. What's that? Where's that coming from?
Well, that was the first time we hosted the Great Race.
Ah, okay.
And
an antique car race across the country.
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And we made a little roadster that said Farmington Public Library on the side. Had a little license plate that said Reed.
Nice.
And we were out there working the crowd, and they gave us $10,000.
Hey.
Was it what?
I think I'm sure the article has it probably in here somewhere.
I think one was 10 and one was 5.
Right.
So.
Very cool. I'm looking for it. I'm scanning it really quick, but yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like 5,000 from Hemmings Motor News is what you got.
Yeah.
And maybe some others from the
and
other
then we got
racers.
A match.
Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
So it was 10,000. Nice.
Yeah, so that was kind of fun.
Very good. I'm going to hold up some other ones. Here's another. This is another 1990 article from the Daily. Thank you, Daily Times, for documenting some of this.
That's a little photo of Flo.
Flo Trujillo right on the other side over here.
Right.
And she
is folding a summer reading shirt.
Look at that.
That was
right.
Our.
There she is.
That was our first summer reading shirt.
Wow.
I had looked at the numbers that we had gotten for 1989 and thought, you know, we can do better.
Yeah.
I used to be an employee of the Northwest Pipeline Corporation. And so I called my old friends that were doing the graphics for that company. And they did the design for that shirt. It had 3 little dinosaurs on the front, and it said, Avoid Extinction, Read.
Nice.
And so they gave me that design. We printed it on a shirt and gave out hundreds of them.
There you go.
It was the beginning of a summer reading tradition.
As they say, the rest is history, because
yes.
This year, we're going to talk about summer reading in just a moment, but there are more, as Jane Lee Ryan, one of your employees, would say limited edition summer reading t-shirts that will be coming out here for the successful completion of the summer reading program. Here's another story about the library cards.
I can't remember
as they start
what
to get designed, right? This was maybe, what does it say? 1990 again.
Oh, yeah.
This is December. But of course, as the library cards are moving, I think I had one of these.
Yes.
With the pot and the Farmington on there, of course, that you could swipe and check out or get scanned. Scanned, I think, is what you were doing back then.
I think barcodes. That's what we were doing, barcodes, yes.
But,
so, and that was an art contest. The library card, the existing library card prior to this was a mauve, kind of a deep mauve color.
Okay. Paper, cardboard,
it was
or cardstock?
Plastic, but it had, they hand put the labels on it.
Laminated.
Yes.
Gotcha. Who remembers that?
It was kind of, so the three color, it was turquoise, black, and red.
Right.
And it was kind of fun to do, and that's just a little bit.
And a bit more heavy duty, I would say.
A little bit more heavy duty.
Could hold up to more stuff.
And since then,
since
then we've tried all kinds of things. We've taken photos.
You have photo contests.
Photo contests.
And now you've got, people can choose from their design on the library cards, I think, for some of the photos that are out, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the latest designs.
We've done plein air paintings and had those be our library cards, which I think are some of the prettiest ones.
Right, right. Nice.
I think we've got animals. Various animals have starred in the library card.
True, very true.
And I brought one other little piece
this
of
article.
Trivia here.
1991, everybody. Here is a story from the library, but this is the picture, and I love this picture because this is this yo-yo kid with this yo-yo, and folks today would know this kid as the one and only Luke Renner, who is just amazing with a yo-yo, and here he is. I don't know how old he is in this picture, Karen.
I don't
but
know
we
either.
Think he's 12
yeah,
or
he's
13.
Not,
or
he's not very old.
No, but he was a whiz back then with the yo-yo, which explains why he's so good today.
Absolutely.
And he's been showing off his yo-yo skills at the library then for 30 years.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun to see people come and go in the library, watch Luke and his family, you know, was bringing his babies in. And
sure.
They're not babies anymore.
Right.
And I think that's one of the fun things about working in a public library, because you're giving library services to people of all ages. And
right.
So we see them from the time they're babies, you know, to preschool, to first grade, third grade, and then that fourth grade boy thing where they start checking out all the joke books.
Right.
And the yo-yo books.
Okay,
and
sure.
And the magic books.
Right.
And the dinosaur books and the architect books and the construction books. I mean, it's just, how much fun is that?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Certainly with Flo, she had a good time wherever she was. She loved seeing the kids, and we liked really introducing our community to the library.
Right.
I think we did that very successfully.
I would agree. And all the programs that came from that, I mean, again, for folks who think the library is just about checking out books, they really are uninformed and misinformed, because it's so much more than that. And we just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning, Karen, to talk about just briefly, can we just run through some of the stuff that you've got planned?
Cool,
because
things.
I know, again, the story of the library is fascinating, and thank you so much for sharing that with us this morning, from its humble beginnings in the living room of the
Mrs. Mahaney's house.
Mrs. Mahaney's house there on Arrington Street. But now we've talked about summer reading, so here it is, right? Tales and Tales.
Tales
folks
and Tales.
Folks can sign up. You can still sign up for summer reading at infoway.org.
And I think this is a summer where everyone should read, because
no kidding.
It's from all ages, and
yep.
We know everybody's had a tough year. Reading is a great way to escape all of our problems. Maybe we can even find some solutions through reading books.
Sure.
So that works great for me.
There you go.
And of course, because of the pandemic, we had a big drop-off last year.
Right.
So we're really looking to make an impact. And we're concerned. I mean,
sure.
Literacy is a measure that is a measure of success of our community.
True. And if, you know, kids that were in school and worried about maybe going, you know, in and out from in-person to virtual to in-person, I mean, reading over the summer is the best way to stop that summer slide of reading, right? Reading knowledge.
Not only keep those skills honed, but maybe even make some leaps. You
know,
even slow or reluctant readers can get a spark that will really encourage people to do better.
Very true. So you can register and you're eligible for prizes, the t-shirts.
And challenges.
And challenges. So that's all on the website at infoway.org is how you would do that. Coming up, golly, just today and tomorrow, right, is going to be the Chalk Art Festival happening at the library.
Yes.
So people can check that out and vote for your favorite on Saturday, tomorrow, from 10 to 1.
Yes, and Chris Cook, he's a local pastel artist.
Yeah.
And he is doing a giant picture for us.
Is he?
In front of the library. It's going to be fantastic.
Nice.
If you're familiar with his work, he's just marvelous.
Very cool.
Well, so that's cool.
It's going on right now, and we can probably go by and watch him do that today.
Absolutely.
The finishing touches.
And if you want to get your hands dirty, you can probably still find a place. There's plenty of sidewalk there to give it a try.
That's what you're doing, is dividing up the sidewalk for local artists. So there you
go. Outside is best for
I agree. Yeah, that's true. Very true. Story time, summer reading story times. You do those on Facebook Live and YouTube on Mondays, 10 and 2.
Yes, and that's always kind of fun to see the library staff sometimes.
Right.
Doing, you know.
Reading a book. You know, and showing off the pictures.
I think.
And maybe using funny voices.
Yes, and I think what happens is we all kind of, somebody gets the fun book, you know. We're all like, ooh, I want to see if I can outdo them.
Right.
The kids' literature is the best because has to be that much better to keep a kid's attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And to read it, you've really got to be
animated. Yes, it's been great experience for our staff to really get to know the children's literature.
Well, and doing it this way, when you can't gather, you know, and you're able to do it online, and so folks can watch them as they're released on Mondays at 10 and 2 on Facebook Live and YouTube. So you can enjoy it from the comfort of your own home. So there you go. And then you have an outdoor event where we can gather.
Yes.
On June 16th.
We have our real readers. This is going to be outside, so we can socially distance and hang out and get scared. I'm not.
No.
Pit.
I'm out.
that book is scary.
The book is scary enough, and then to see it outside or to hear it outside
in the dark.
And the dark. Karen, I'm sorry. I'm going to skip that one.
Okay. But there's others.
There are others. The brave can go.
That's right.
Wednesday, June 16th, 7 p.m., Pet Cemetery, the great Stephen King super scary novel. Oh, my gosh, I can't.
Me neither.
But
and then we've also got trivia. We've got
Sunset trivia happening. This is on the 23rd at 6 p.m. And so these are in person, outdoors, socially distanced. You can sit in your own pod of people and enjoy. But in the past, they've been by Zoom, but now you're able to gather. We're turquoise, so we can gather outside safely.
Yeah,
so
we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
And then the drone obstacle course, I think that's going to be pretty fun.
That sounds really interesting. And all I have in notes is says details coming soon, so we don't know.
Well, the thing that we do know is that it's for all ages. So if you're an expert or if you're a beginner and you want to try your hand and see how your drone skills are, frankly, I believe if you still have a drone that is flying.
Right.
Like you got it for Christmas and you're still flying it.
6 months later.
You're probably doing pretty well.
Right. If I haven't hit something with my drone, I'm excited. So.
Yes.
My obstacle course is the tree outside my house.
So I think that'd be a really great opportunity to try your skills.
Okay.
And there are some fabulous prizes for that
as
well.
Nice. Okay. So that's coming. So I guess what we say in the radio business is stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For more details about the drone obstacle course.
Yes. And of course you can find all of this on our calendar and register online.
There you go. Infoway.org.
Yeah,
that's where you go. Wonderful. Karen, thank you for coming in. Thank you for celebrating with us the 100 years of the Farmington Public Library and all the things it's done for the community under your tenure and even before you got here. It's been really a community-changing organization.
Well, and I think that it looks like it's a good start for the next 100 years.
There you go. That's very true.
So thanks for letting me come and talk about it.
Anytime. Good to have you here. Thank you.
All right.
Karen McPeters, the director of the Farmington Public Library, my guest here on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here for you, providing safe, quality care. Stay informed on the COVID-19 developments to protect yourself and your loved ones at sanjuanregional.com. or the COVID-19 information line at 505-516-0938 or 888-949-5387. San Juan Regional Medical Center, caring for the Four Corners since 1910. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.